Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Okay, prayer request. Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Pray that you would guide us and lead us today. Encourage us in your truth. Pray that you would bless our brothers, Floyd and Jessica, Edgar in Guatemala. Pray for those that are by themselves, Lord, in other places that don't have the encouragement that we have. We could be encouragement and help and strength for them as well, Lord. Pray that you lead us to those that are seeking truth. In Jesus' name we pray. For your salvation, and I hope in your word. My eyes strain to look at your teaching, saying, when will you comfort me? I am like a leather bag in a frost. I did not forget your ordinances. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment for me upon those who persecute me? Transgressors described their meditations to me. But these are not like your law, O Lord. Your commandments are true. They persecuted me unjustly. Help me. They almost ended my life on earth. But I did not forsake your commandments. Give me life according to your mercy, and I shall keep the testimonies of your mouth. One thing that stood out to me as I was reading this is the first verse, which speaks of salvation. And the way it speaks about salvation is something to be longed for. My soul earnestly longs for your salvation, and I hope in your word. And that's not what's being taught today. Salvation is being taught as something that we don't hope or long for. It's something we just get and we trust in. And I was always taught that in the Old Testament they looked forward to salvation, but in the New Testament it was just something they looked back to and trusted in. It's something that happened. But I found something in the New Testament that speaks the same way as the verse we're reading here about something to be longed and hoped for, where the Apostle Paul spoke in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 22, the Apostle said this about salvation. He said, "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Groaning and eagerly waiting, it says. "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Salvation is something we eagerly wait for with perseverance at the present time we're living in. As it says, I hope in your word, verse 81, my eyes strained to look at the teaching, saying, when will you comfort me? We're living in a time right now where we have all the comforts we could want at our fingertips. We can just make our lives as comfortable as we want them to be. But here's a man declaring a struggle of looking into the Lord's teachings and a question, when will you comfort me? Seeking a comfort that this world can't offer. Seeking a comfort that we can't just make up for ourselves here in this world. He says, I'm like a leather bag in a frost. I did not forget your ordinances. Leather is just dead flesh. You think of something leather in a cold, harsh environment. That's what we can be like. Dead to ourselves in a cold, harsh world. Not forgetting the Lord's ordinances. The Lord Jesus said that the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this life choke the Word of God out of us. The comforts that this world offers, the things we can have here and enjoy in this life, can just choke the Word of God out of us. They can make us forget His ordinances. But here it speaks of straining and struggling to look into the Lord's teachings, looking for the comfort that He offers, dying to our flesh in this cold, hard world, that we might not forget His ordinances. This is just a little description of how we eagerly wait and long for the salvation of the Lord. So I just want to encourage you with that this morning. For next week's lesson, look for places in the Scripture and examples where people had to wait on the Lord for his deliverance and for His help and for His salvation. Lord bless you all.
We were supposed to get a teaching or an verse or an example about humility. And I got when David killed Goliath, he wasn't all proud that he had done something that the men wouldn't do. He just humbly said that God had helped him. Psalm 18, verse 4. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest. Is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I got in the book of Jonah when God is going to destroy the people in Nineveh, and then they repented and humbled themselves, and God spared them. Moses wasn't humbled when he was leading all the children of Israel, and he just wasn't proud.
We had the same assignment, and I got 1 Peter 5:5. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you close yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Philippians 2:3-5. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Exodus 10:3. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me?" And so God was really being hard on Pharaoh for being proud. With all the plagues.
At James 4:5-6. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us, but He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
1 Peter 5:6-7. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you.
I got Matthew 18:4. Whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in heaven.
Proverbs 16:16-17. Arrogance goes before destruction, and folly before a fall. A gentle mind with humility is better than who divides spoil with the arrogant.
I have Proverbs 16:18-19. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud.
I had the same verse as Cade in James 4:6. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore, He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. It's just pretty clear that it's pretty serious to be proud.
First Kings 21:27-29. So it was when Ahab heard those words that he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in his sackcloth and went about mourning. And when the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I'll not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I'll bring the calamity on his house."
This is Ephesians 5:21. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, that's the end of that. And then I had chapter 4:14 of Ephesians. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working in every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart.
First Peter 5:5-6, you younger men likewise be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time.